living in the past robs me from the glories of today.
Mm.
Oh, yes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, paradise on earth, bringing you the thought for today. Living in the past robs me of the glories of today. Well, this morning, as I was about to give my talk, Ellen walked around and came over and looked at me, and she wondered if I were speaking loud enough or if I had my hearing aids in or if I had this or that, and she was wondering, you know, what's going on? And so I stopped, and then I talked to her. I said, I took them out. I do not have them in. I am speaking in a very normal voice and very positive. She said, well, you're not speaking in your normal lecture voice, which is filled with dynamics and power and joy and enthusiasm and that sort of good stuff. And I said, all right. So then I shut it off, and I started again where we are right now. You see, Ellen was thinking that I was living in the past. She thought I was living with the earplugs in, and I couldn't hear what was going on, or that I heard too well, and so I didn't speak loudly. You see, when we live in the past, we rob ourselves of the glories of today, because Ellen will never know what was going to come out of that first talk, because now she will just have to listen to the second talk and think to herself, that's good too. He always gives good talks.
Of course.
Now, we have a very special student, a lady, who is extremely talented, extremely capable. She's a school teacher, and she has a very successful school where she teaches, and she's a super lady. But she also has a son and a daughter-in-law who had a problem. And so instead of not mentioning the past, not living in the past, but she was feeling that the past was indicative of what's going on in the present, that the past was what was these kids were experiencing. And of course, that's exactly what they were experiencing because of what? They were living in the past. They were living in the past of the past experiences that they had. And so they compounded those past experiences that they had in the present experiences that they had, which are a duplication of the past experiences that they had, and they're equally as nutty and equally as unhappy. You see, this is what we do. And I will tell you. The daughter-in-law had a bad car accident, which was not very nice at all in any way. And now it's 4 years later. And now the son has a bad car accident, which is not very nice at all, and it all is a remnant of the past. They had been living with the wife's unhappiness and the wife's residual from the car accident all these 4 years. And finally, the power got enough that the son had an equal one so that he could be riding on the same boat that she's riding on. Now, golly, that is not very nice, is it? But that's because we live in the past. Now, you think they're alone? Huh, my goodness. How many of us live in the past telling about the adventures we had? I had 5 broken legs when I was a kid. Isn't that wonderful? Wow! Does that help me counsel with anyone, treat with anyone who's having an experience today? Oh, no. They don't even say, well, you understand what it is to have a broken leg. They say, you don't understand because that was way back then. And they just hit you on the head, knocked you out because they didn't have any morphine to put you down, you know. And then they fixed your legs and put tubes on them and off you went back doing whatever you're doing, you know. And you see, when we live in the past, we destroy ourselves for the present because we have all of our attitudes based upon the past. All of our attitudes are based upon the past. Now, Dorothea Zimmerman is visiting with us for the Easter seminar, and Dorothea went shopping with Sylvia yesterday. And Sylvia went from store to store to store to store to store to store to store, picking up this, picking up that, picking up the other thing. And I think to myself, I think we're going to make a little change here. But anyhow, she went to store to store to store to buy this, to buy that, to buy the other thing. And when I sit down and eat a meal, I don't see this multi-store selection of things, I think to myself, somewhere I've missed the boat. But as Dorothea went with her from store to store, Dorothea says, oh my goodness, how she remembers all these things and how she does all these things. She's a super girl. And I said, that's for sure. She wouldn't be a monk here if she weren't a super girl. But if you're really a super girl, you more or less get your shopping all together so you don't go back and forth and here and there and there and there and this and that. And that takes time. And, of course, it does get you out of the humdrum of the daily activity of being a monk on campus and gets you into the city and gets you doing that. But I would say, rather than going in the city and running around shopping from store to store to store, say, I'm going to take a day off. And go take a day off. Go to the city. And if you want to shop, go ahead, you know. If you want to look around, go ahead. If you want to go to the beach, go ahead. But don't do that on your normal, very busy activities, you know, of what? If I go into a store shopping, I generally have a pretty good idea of the things that I want. And I go directly to the stores that I know that have them because I checked out ahead of time. And then when I go there and pick out the things that I want, I buy them or I don't buy them, depending upon what, if the quality is what I expected. And then I'm done. Now, sometimes it takes a long time to do this because you're waiting and depending upon other people. And sometimes I just like to browse around. I'm taking my day off, so to speak, because I'm, you know, free on that thing. Now, if this is what Sylvia likes to do, that's great. But if Sylvia, oh dear, I worked so hard today, I shopped so much, I had to do this, I had to do that. If that's the attitude she comes home with, then, hey, you're not going shopping anymore. That just tires you out. We'll send you to the beach. We'll send you out to have a day of fun, and to hell with this nonsense of going shopping and coming home dead tired. No one should be dead tired after coming home from shopping. What they should do is plan the program ahead of time. Now, Dorothea remembers when she was a shopper too. She still shops, but she has several stores that she goes to, and before she goes in that store, she knows right where whatever she wants is. She knows the bin they're in. She knows how much they are. They're, and she's in and she's out. And when she drives her little red Jeep, her Jeep says, my, you took 2 seconds instead of three to get across that street. Well, what's the matter with you? You getting old? And you see, but you see, she moves. She does and goes and does these things, as we all do. And this is what we want to do. You see, what makes us tired is boredom. And what makes us bored is the past. Because we remember when we were kids how we did things. And you don't remember when you were kids how you did things. You haven't the slightest idea what you did. All you do is look at kids today and you said, I must have been like that too. But we weren't, and they aren't, and we aren't. The kids today are a whole different genre than we are. The genre the kids are today are fabulous. I mean, they know things that we never even dreamed of knowing. And about sex, my gosh, they can quote you line and verse of the whole story of sex, and we didn't even know it when we were kids. I mean, when we were teenagers, we were perhaps naive a little bit, but it didn't hurt. Didn't hurt at all. We liked doing what normal teenagers are able to do. And we just had a lot of good times and a lot of fun. But the thing is, that's remembering from the past. Now, I say, the kids today are fantastic. What they do and how they think and how they act and how they live, utterly remarkable. And I don't want to compare them to the past. I just compare them to the present, if that's a comparison. I'm just aware of them in the present. Perhaps that's even better. I'm aware of them in the present. We had a young man here, Anthony, from Las Vegas. And we have two Anthonys in Las Vegas. One, Anthony Cordova, and the other, Anthony
Donato.
And Anthony Donato, 14-year-old, he was here. And we looked at him, and we said, you're a cool guy. You're a nice guy. We enjoy talking to you. We didn't say, Boy, when I was a kid, I wouldn't dare wear colors like that. When I was a kid, I would never wear clothes like that. When I was a kid, you know, we didn't say that. We looked at him. He was perfectly natural, doing exactly what he was doing. Perfectly natural. And all of you who are products of the 60s, you remember long hair for boys and all that kind of stuff, you know, which is very common. And that was just sort of a rebound from the war years where everybody had crew cuts. And that's perfectly normal, too. Now, when we live in the past, it robs us from the glories of today because we're comparing the past to today instead of comparing today to today. We look at Anthony and we say, what a fine young man. And we look at Jerome and we say, what a fine young man. And Jerome's entirely different character, entirely different choices that he makes. And yet we didn't feel if Jerome and Anthony were together, they'd fit like two peas in a pod. Why? Because they live in the today. They live in the glories of today. They don't live in the memory of the past because they don't really have too many memories of that. 14 years didn't give them too many years for a past. And that's good. And remember that. Remember, if you don't remember, and a lot of you are lying, but you say you do remember when you were 5 years old or 8 years old or 10 years old. You don't. But the thing is, when you were 5 years old and 8 years old and 10 years old, you remember what is happening at that moment. But when you are 14 years old, you don't remember what you did when you were 5 years old and 8 years old and 10 years old, unless a particular incident happened and your parents brought it to your attention. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no idea I had broken legs. I have no idea. But my sisters always brought it back to my attention. And he said they used to push me around in the baby buggy with my broken leg and take turns and sometimes push me as fast as they could and just have a good time. But the thing is, I don't remember that. I don't remember any of that. And then they would tell me how they would give me presents or they would do these things. And I don't remember that. But they told me, so they must be telling the truth, you know, because they don't know how to do anything else but tell the truth. So it must have been true. But I don't remember it. So if I don't remember it, then perhaps it has no importance. If you don't remember the past, it has no importance. But if you remember that one thing, that car accident where you had the whiplash and everything was terrible. My sister suffered from whiplash for 8 years, but my sister liked to milk it. May.
What is whiplash?
But you go like this with your head when the car is bumped in the back or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And it sort of connects your neck muscles a little bit. And she had her neck muscles all unconnected and balanced out. And she was in perfect shape. But she felt good about milking the feeling sorry for herself. Mm-hmm. And having her husband, oh, my, you know, you'll have to, oh, my whiplash, you'll have to. And, you know, it's a joke. It no longer affected her, but it was just a good tool to get her husband to do what she wanted him to do. She didn't really have to use that to do it. He would do it anyhow. But she felt she did because she felt guilty asking him to do all the things she did. But, you see, we live in the past, and the whiplash was nothing more than a little device to make her feel less guilty about asking her husband to do things. And how many of the other people in the world have little things like that. It makes them feel less guilty. What's the name of the show we saw last night?
As Good as It Gets.
As Good as It Gets. And in that stupid show, this woman wanted nothing more in the world than to have her son be whole and perfect. She would give her life to have her son be whole and perfect. But when it came to going to bed with this man, she said, no way would I ever do that. Even to have her son whole and perfect. Well, now, she didn't have to. He had not that intention. But she thought that was the only payment she had to give because she didn't have money or anything else, and which is a silly thing to do. All she has to do is be a nice person, which she was. Mm-hmm. And she was a very sincere and a very nice person. But, you see, she used her son's illness as an excuse. She used her son's illness as an excuse for being grumpy or being bitchy or being bags under eyes, you know. I was up all night. Well, my gosh, let the doctors do it and take a nap, you know. Have confidence in the doctors. And then when a real doctor came along, that is, someone who knew the score, then she was afraid of him. She was afraid of him. This is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. Oh, my. She should have immediately said, I prayed and my prayers were answered. Right?
Right.
I prayed and my prayer. My son is the most important thing in my life. But now her son wasn't going to be the most important thing. She wasn't going to have to take his temperature. She wasn't going to have to worry him about him night and day. And that took away, as her mother said to her, now that you don't have to worry about Spence, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to get a life. Yeah. But you see, this is what we do. We like to live in the past. We like to live not only with the memories, but with the unhappinesses. And what we want to learn to do is to live in the present, to live in the now, to live in who we really are and enjoy life. And the only way we're going to enjoy life is when we live in the now. Now is the only time that has any significance or importance for anybody, especially us. So, my loves, are you ready to live in the now? Oh, yes, 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 or a bull roar. If you're ready to live in the now, you don't even mention that you will, because you are. You see? I mean, if you're living in the now, you don't talk about any other time than now, right now. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Now, we want to be very careful that we don't miss the glories of today by being robbed of it by memories of the past. And people who write about the past have really a problem. I wrote a book, Quiet Healing Zone. It's the most remarkable book. I wrote it. It was a great book. But the book was writing about experiences that I was going through at the time that I wrote it. It was writing about my releasing my past memories and living in the present. My releasing the experiences of the past and living in the present. But always living in the consciousness of the person who I am. And the person who I am is who?
God.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. McGillicuddy. God. Okay. And if you live, if I live as God, what else is there to do? Nothing. Except enjoy.
Have fun.
And have fun and be yourself. So I recommend that each one of us today so live in the now that we don't even think for one instant of yesterday. And if yesterday ever comes up, ignore it. Ignore it. Just live in the now. Well, how do you ignore yesterday if it comes up? Well, you ignore it very simply by living in the now. By living in the now. Sylvia, when are you going to learn how to drive that car? And Sylvia says, I am a perfect driver. Well, when did that happen? She says, well, now. There is no other time. I am a perfect driver now. Are you a perfect driver now?
Yes.
Okay. When did you get to be a perfect driver?
Now.
Now. And how many nows were ever in your past?
No.
Only nows.
Yeah.
Only now. And she has always been a perfect driver, right?
Right.
There's no past. But she always is a perfect driver. And there's no future. There's only the present. She is a perfect driver.
Jeez.
Is that true?
Yes, she is.
My God, you got them all conned.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
That's because you live in the now. When we live in the now, we'll have the whole world conned into believing that we are wonderful. Because that's all we are in the now, is wonderful. Isn't that great?
Wonderful.
I tell you, you never know what you're going to hear when you tune in to the Thought for Today, Instant Illumination, or Absolute Philosopher. And you never know what you're going to hear when you tune in to our seminars. Because our seminars are very specially done. Do you know how they're done? I live in the now, speaking to each person giving relevance to whatever we're thinking about that moment. And that's what makes them exciting or boring. And it makes it boring because some people don't want to give up the past. It makes it boring because some people don't want to give up the future. But it's exciting for everybody who wants to live in the now. Thank you for sharing these moments with me this morning. I love you. I love you.
I love you.